Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, let's start out by talking about famous enemies. We like famous enemies, two entities that are kind of opposed to each other. It's kind of exciting because we're not involved in the conflict, right? We're on the outside looking in. We don't really have skin in the game. So to start off this morning, I'd like to share with you one side of the conflict, and then you fill in the blank on the other side. Who's the enemy of the entity or the person that I'm going to name here this morning? So let's start easy. The Oregon State Beavers. Who's the enemy? Who? The Oregon? Really? All right. Oh, so much animosity in the. We just read from Jeremiah, we're not supposed to bring division into the church, and here we go. All right, how about this one? Let's start even simpler than that. How about Peter Pan? Who's the enemy of Peter Pan? Captain Hook. Good, John. Excellent. All right, how about this one? How about Sherlock Holmes? A little harder. Peggy Krueger's got it. Professor Moriarty. That's right. Divisions, enemies, it can spread even beyond just individuals and become, how about this one from history? So I'm not just picking fictional figures. How about Alexander Hamilton? You got it. Aaron Burr. Very good, Charlene. A+. The divisions can move on from people, cartoon characters, historical figures, and take even groups. Whole groups can be set against each other. So when I say this one, how about the Jets? Who's the opposite of the Jets? The Sharks. Some people are probably thinking NFL football, but I was thinking West Side Story. We're on the same page today, Peggy. I bring this up to start off my message because Paul is just outright naming a huge division that was happening during his day. We talked about it in our Bible study this morning. The two groups mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, it wasn't just like they were lukewarm towards each other. They did not like each other at all. They hated each other. It's true. The two groups are the Jews and the Gentiles. They despised one another. The Gentiles despised the Jews. They thought that they were arrogant, but they really thought that they were insignificant in the grand scheme of things. They didn't speak their language. They were kind of an odd group of small people that lived in a particular area of the world. Relatively insignificant compared to their gods who were grand and powerful. And to the Jews, they didn't like the Gentiles. And it wasn't like a sports Oregon State, Oregon hatred. It was deep, a deep animosity here. For example, if a Jewish boy showed up with a Gentile girl to marry them, it meant that everything was off. That Jewish boy would have been canceled from the family. It would have been as if he never existed at all. That's deep. And we know from reading the Gospels that there were specific rules for Jews that they should never have a meal with a Gentile, that they shouldn't even enter their home. The hostility became so great that walls were put up, barriers. In fact, in verse 14 of our text, Paul uses that metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor. It was a reality. Walls, literally walls were put off to separate the two. Take, for example, the temple, the walls in the temple. We know the temple was constructed for the Jews. There was one temple. We know that it had five sections to it. On the outside section, there was the court of the Gentiles. A Gentile couldn't go any further than the wall in front of them. Inside that court was another court that was called the court of women. Jewish women could go into that region, but they couldn't go any further beyond those walls. Inside that region was called the court of Israel. That's where the Jewish men could go. Inside that court was the court of the priests, those who are of the Aaron's background. And then inside that very inner sanctuary was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go. Now, I bring that up Because the wall from the Gentiles going into the temple was significant. We know this from biblical evidence, but also from archaeological evidence in the last 40 years. We've discovered those walls. They were made of marble. There was no way to get in that wall. And we found the tablets of those walls discovered. Those tablets had signs that told the Gentiles. Those tablets were written in Roman and in Greek lettering. And they essentially said this. It's not in the Bible, but we found it. It says this: if anyone enters through this wall that is from another nation, that is from a nation different than Israel, then they will be responsible for the ensuing death. Is that a sign you're going to pay attention to? I get accused of not paying attention to signs when I drive from Alicia, but that's a sign I'm paying attention to if I'm a Gentile. Now, it's nice sitting back and hearing information like this from the pastor about Jews and Gentiles, because we're on the outside looking in. This is about Jews and Gentiles. It doesn't really involve us, but my friends, let's get the spirit of Ephesians 2, not the technicalities. Do you have an enemy that you've put up a wall with?